These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
This is the All Things Bama Podcast, powered by the Bama Central Broadcast Network. Bama Podcast. I'm your host, Mason Woods, and if you can't already tell, today's intro is a little bit strange as I'm actually recording it after the fact. Due to some unfortunate audio issues during the original recording of today's episode, we actually had to cut the first couple of minutes, and you were going to be dropped right into the beginning of our discussion today on Bama Hoops. We do get into some other topics on the show. We talk about Crimson Tide baseball taking their first road trip of the year, Alabama softball coming home this weekend. We get into a little bit of gymnastics, and we also do a little bit of wrap-up on the 2026 recruiting class and how Alabama fared this week. But before we get into any of those topics, I do want to remind you all to go follow both Joe and myself on social media at JoeGaither6 and at MAWoods_. And without further ado, the All Things Bama podcast. Alabama,
potentially. There's just the way that this defense has played over the last two games has opened up so much concern or brought forward so much concern. Was always kind of nagging a little bit in the background, but it's not like this team had been horrible defensively this season. They were in the top 40 KenPom rankings, so a pretty solid team, just not one of the best in the country, but the last two games they've been one of the worst in the country.
No, oh, absolutely horrible. Here's you some context from Wednesday. Missouri outscored Alabama 42-22 for the 12 minutes that Muhammad Diabate was on the bench. That's 3.5 minutes per 3.5 points per minute when Diabate was out of the game. Alabama, in the 28 minutes that Diabate did play, won 76-68. So you won by 8 or so. My man, this is from D. Giddens Burner, says, this isn't about Diabate's playing time. He can hardly play more than the 28 minutes. He's probably going to foul out at the 30-minute mark just because of how he plays. But it's about being, he says, this is about not being absolutely atrocious defensively when he's out. 42 points in 12 minutes is insane. He says, for reference, 42-22 in 12 minutes is on pace for a full game score of 140-73. So take Muhammad Diabate out of the lineup Wednesday in Alabama. You don't lose by 12. You lose 140-73. You got a real problem.
You cannot, you kind of just did quantify it a little bit, but like you really, you cannot truly put into perspective how important Muhammad Diabate is to this team.
That and
what they're just lost when he's not on the floor.
Yes. What are the other 8-9 guys?
What do you do at practice?
Exactly. What are you not getting, fellas?
There's no way that you're not seeing him do that. I don't understand how there's not any, how does this not rub off on anyone else? How is there not at least one other guy or two other guys who are pretty good? I get, Darian Reed has been out and he was a very good defender and that has certainly hurt things. But like Chris Youngblood, you haven't really been stopping anybody. LeBaron's not stopping anybody. Mark Sears sure as hell ain't stopping nobody. You have nothing around the perimeter for like almost all of your lineups, basically. You get Jaren, he's a decent defender, but it's not like he's out there most of the time. He's guarding the big guys. you have no one to stop the ball at the point of attack. You know, when teams come downhill at you, no one is there to stop it.
So right. Just, so you've got Cliff and you've got Aiden Sherrill playing drop coverage, and you're basically trying to catch two players at the same time coming downhill. You putting Cliff and Aiden into conflict, and you're not even really getting a good shot contest.
No, it's I don't know the X's and O's. I'm not a I think you said it the other day when we were talking about this. The next basketball kid play that I call will be my first, and it would be the same for me. You know, I do not claim to be a basketball guru or anything. But it just certainly seems something's got to change. You know, you went to this new lineup, I guess, against Missouri, which I wanted to ask. Well, how did you feel about that starting lineup against Missouri?
It was Youngblood,
Phylon, Sears, and Cliff and Grant, I think. Or maybe it was Jaron.
Yeah, no, Jaron was out. It was Mark. It was Mark, LeBaron, Youngblood, Nelson, Amori.
I think that's what it was. And it got boat raced.
Yeah, not ready to play. 12-0 run right off the rip.
Everybody claimed with the three guard lineup. We need the three guard lineup. 12-0.
I think that you're probably going to see Mark and LeBaron still in the starting lineup, and I think that you're going to be looking at practice today to see, is it Jaron or Chris Youngblood that plays at the three? And then you say Grant Nelson, did your girlfriend break up with you?
I don't know what's going on with him.
I don't. Right. That's the reason I said something so ridiculous. I mean, like, what's happened to you, man? Did you fail class or like you got the flu? What's the issue? Because Grant to me has been. I mean, what did he do?
He's been a liability.
All right. And not really involved. What did we do on again? Grant had 8 points, 3 of 5 shooting, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 turnover, 4 fouls against the Missouri Tigers. So that's not a great game, in my opinion. That's not a horrible game. It's not like and against Auburn as well. Auburn, 12 points. Okay. So you got the double figure on 5 of 11 shooting. 12 rebounds. So great. All right. You were involved in that. 1 assist, 1 block, 1 turnover. I just want more out of him. And maybe that's me being selfish, but that's what I want.
We've seen him. We've seen more out of him before. You know, you saw it last year in spurts. You've seen it this year in spurts. Well, he kind of has that ability to take over games. At least he's done it before. I just wonder why. I don't know. I don't know if it's a not getting the opportunities kind of thing, because, you know, Mark, Aiden, and Chris are throwing up 28 threes a game, 30 threes a game between, if not more, between the three of them. I don't know. But he's been really bad defensively, like really seemingly. Alabama's had no, you know, Cliff is struggling inside, and they've had no real help down there from anyone.
Marshall goes for 30 something.
I don't know if you bench Grant.
Jani Broom went for 19.
I mean, because I don't think, you know, Sherrell's not ready to start, obviously. But I don't know what you do. I don't know what you do here. Lineup, something. Something is not clicking with this team. We have tried and tried and tried all season to find explanations for it. And every time we think we have it, they give us something, some new wrinkle to consider. I don't know where you turn with this team if you're Nate Oates. I really don't. They've got to find some sort of life within themselves, because they've been completely dead out there on the court the last two games. You would have thought that Auburn game gave them a little bit of juice with it being such a, you know, big time home game, but you came out flat as could be, and then you would have thought, okay, well, you suffered the big time loss, you know, maybe this gives you a little bit of motivation to go out and win, and then you came out extremely flat once again. So I don't even know where you turn with them if you're Nate Oates.
Right. That's why I'm maybe stupidly but concerned, because You're sitting right there for to challenge for the SEC regular season title. And you've got the biggest game in Coleman Coliseum's history.
This is the same thing we were angry about with football in that Oklahoma game.
And you just weren't ready to play at all.
You had everything in front of you. All you had to do was go out there and hold up your end of the bargain.
Well, at least with the basketball team, these two teams that you've lost to, Auburn and Missouri, sure, are really good teams.
Yes.
Not Oklahoma barely making a bowl.
But it's still, like, it's just...
But looking ahead. Look ahead. It's like you don't get any breaks.
Yeah, man. Oh, God. I don't know. I'm made of questions with this team. I am going to have to see a stronger performance. I'm going to have to see that life in them this weekend against Kentucky for me to believe in them. As it stands right now, I don't think they get out of the second round of the tournament. I mean, I just don't. Somebody's going to come in that wants to play defense, that wants to play hard-nosed basketball, and they're going to run Alabama out of the gym.
Yeah. I mean, that is the recipe right now. The recipe right now is
painful.
Play tough, get inside, run Alabama off the three-point line.
Yeah, that's exactly what Missouri did. You lose that game by 12.
I mean, Alabama shot well from the three-point line. What was it? 13 of 31 for the Crimson Tide. That's 42%.
Yeah, I mean, that's numbers you'll take all day.
You didn't get a stop. You couldn't stop anything. You could not stop anything.
What was that average points per possession? What was that points per possession for Missouri?
1.44 something.
1.447.
Oh, ridiculous.
That's
the you're not giving yourself a chance
this season.
Yeah, you're not giving yourself a chance.
It's just so bad. Following the game, or I guess not even following the game, during the game, in the final seconds of the game, Missouri head coach Dennis Gates takes it upon himself to get on the PA. Do not storm the court. Do not rush the floor. Do not rush the floor. And we've, you know, Nate Oates did this against Auburn, not about rushing the floor, but about fans throwing things onto the court. I understand where he's coming from, the coach. I think it's a little funny because just in December, he had a very different attitude when approached with this same kind of situation when Missouri beat Kansas at home. The PA announcer makes an announcement beats Kansas. You know, the PA announcer makes an announcement. Do not rush the floor. Do not rush the floor. Dennis Gates asked about it after the game, and he said, quote, "You've got to be kidding me. I was about to go grab the mic myself and say, rush the damn floor. For real. I think the fans just deserve this." What do you want, Dennis Gates? Do you want them to rush or do you want them to not rush? I don't understand here.
Well, I think the emotion, you want them to be excited enough to rush the floor, but now the financial benefits, the financial penalties to rushing the floor. He said, we need that money for NIL.
Yeah. So after he was asked about this one, and yeah, this time has changed his tone a bit. We need that money for NIL. We need to be able to, you know, buy things, which I think that's the attitude you should have if you're a coach. But Joe sent me this. The University of Missouri took it upon themselves, which this is just so good to me. Like this is the way. You know, we've talked about the way Vanderbilt has handled their getting fans not to storm the court with their like little timeout period kind of deal. We've talked about other schools, the way they've tried to quell fans storming the court. This is a good way to do it. The university texts their students, free cover at two local bars in Missouri. Would this ever happen in Tuscaloosa?
No, but it'd be great.
I couldn't
get the powers of B to agree.
No, it would be. They would say, like, this is, you know, this. I can see the Facebook comments now. If this, you know, on the story about this online, the folks, universities, they're paying for kids to go get drunk on our dollar. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, no, it'd be ridiculous.
I just think that the business leaders that are on the strip
couldn't agree on who it was going to be.
And they'd be like, we're not giving up our cover dollars. And they'd say, university, you've got to pay us whatever cover.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I've never been to Columbia, Missouri. I've never been out on a night, you know, spend a night out on the town in Como. I don't believe, I would not imagine that their bars are reaching the same sort of covers that ones down here on the strip are reaching, where I have been and, you know, heard, like exceeding $100 on some nights, which, you know, that's usually a big home football game weekend type deal. But still, like, yeah, I think you're totally right. I don't think not one of those businesses right there on the strip would be willing to give up the, because kids pay it every night. Like they pay these ridiculous fees, these ridiculous cover fees to get in. And, you know, they're just allowed to charge more and more and more when they keep paying it. So they keep charging more. Yeah, I don't think for a second any of them would give that up. Man, it would be good.
The university would have to pay the bar whatever they would determine. Hey, this is what we would make in cover. Okay. And, okay, so we got to think what that number's got to be lower than the $100,000 penalty. So we're paying a bar $5K for cover, $3K for cover, whatever it is for that night that they're making, and the university still comes out ahead. That's probably how that's going up there in Missouri. Yeah, I
mean, probably.
They're probably the two bars that they've partnered with, they're probably throwing them some money.
I would think so. I mean,
but I just don't see
the be here. Which ones would it be? Houndstooth and Innisfree. Like those, the Houndstooth just for the name because it's in line with the brand.
But I don't know the Houndstooth ever charges
cover. Innisfree
feels
iconic.
Yeah, Innisfree is always charging cover.
Obviously Gillette's is very iconic as well. Rounders, but
Gillette's right next to the university. I think that the university, to maximize it, should partner with Gillette's and Rounders. Or Gillette and 1225 right there.
Yeah.
Because of what we were just talking about with the business dealings and things, they would actually partner with Bear Trap and Red Shed. Because they'd get because the university would get a much better deal from Bear Trap and Red Shed. And the students
save even more money,
and the students would roll their eyes and storm the court the next day.
Just out of spite, even if they lose, they still storm the court.
Yes, and be like,
"This is for you, Greg.
You should have partnered with the top end bars."
Oh man. Oh yeah, no, I don't.
Sidelines. They're gonna partner with what? Isn't that what it's called? Sideline something.
I don't get down there.
High Tide, isn't that one of them?
Yeah, I remember that. Spent some nights there.
Red Shed was always my move off the strip.
Man, oh man.
Houndstooth, Red Shed, those are my place. Now Houndstooth, shoot, good late night food at Houndstooth.
Yes. Okay, that's enough Missouri talk. I think I don't have an answer for this team. I don't. You know, if you get
some heart.
Sure.
If you get a heart transplant,
to explain to you, I saw somebody after the game, after Wednesday's game, ask anybody that knows ball, please explain to me what happened to Alabama the last two games. And like, that's exactly how I feel right now. I thought I knew what was going on. I thought I had a good feel of this team. Thought I had my finger on the pulse. But I don't know what to make of them anymore. It's like they don't want to be out there. There's not really any cohesion. Offense is cool. Offense is great. It's not only going to take you so far. So I don't know. Let's talk about Kentucky a little bit. Move off of Missouri. The Wildcats coming to town. I've got it here. The fifth ranked offensive rating in the country. Number 69 in defensive rating.
Nice.
Very nice. How do we feel about Bama's chances this weekend? Because I don't feel good.
I feel like it's going to be a track meet that Alabama will win because Kentucky does not play as good a defense as Auburn did last week.
I would agree with that.
I think that Alabama will win a very high-scoring game, and really the key will be not turn the basketball over on offense because your defense stinks anyways, and just getting a couple of decent stops against Kentucky.
Is this like the worst possible matchup they could have for a game where like you desperately need to be like, hey, we got to lock in defensively. Why couldn't they have played like Tennessee next?
Yeah, their next several games are against really good offenses, right? Let's see. I'll play. You got Kentucky State, Tennessee, Florida. Let's see what old Kenny Palm says about Mississippi State, because Mississippi State is
Mississippi State's 26th in offense.
26th and 34th.
Florida is really high also. Florida is 4th. Tennessee is 29th, so not exactly bad.
No.
And Auburn again. Great. Auburn again at 1. So that real bad defense, you're about to go against four or five top 30 top 30 offenses. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 top 30 offenses. Kentucky. Yeah. 5 top 30 offenses ahead. With 3 of them being top 10 offenses.
Mm-hmm.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Well, Nate, I mean, we just need some effort.
I'm looking at, I'm trying to, you know, go through these ratings here. And,
you see a little effort.
Yeah.
Because that's what it looked like on Wednesday.
I mean,
on Wednesday, it looked like, right, everyone's all scrambling, run. Who's my man? Where is he? What's my rotation? Oh, there goes my rotation right behind me. You know, just
cuts to the basket, you know, man. Like,
And Cliff is out of position because he's trying to, like, you talking about Mark Mitchell?
He's trying to make up for everyone else.
Right.
Do you think, I mean,
stop the dadgum basketball. Stay in front of the basketball.
It all starts there because it just snowballs. Once you don't stop them at the top of the key there, then Cliff, Grant, Aiden, whoever it is, has to come off, step off of their man for a second and lag off to help you a little bit. Opens him up for, you know, you don't get a good contest on that shot. And then we have Mark Mitchell, let me see here.
Former McDonald's All-American, went to Duke, transferred to Missouri, beast, but that was his best game of the year.
Yeah. I'm looking Kentucky here. Who's going to be the problem? Who was the problem last game? Who when they played?
Ortega Owe had a big game, right?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to remember.
102-97. You got Owe with 21, Lamont Butler with 17, Amari Williams with 13, Jackson Robinson 11, Brandon Garrison 11.
So you did a good job last game bottling them up and not letting one guy beat you like you have in a lot of other times this year.
Goodness. Lamont Butler was out for their Tuesday game, and goodness gracious, who was the other one? Jackson Robinson was out for their Tuesday game against Vanderbilt. We'll see if they get back in. We'll see an availability report tonight at 7.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, going to be Ortega away again. You know, he's going to press Mark Sears. Mark Sears is going to continue to get attacked defensively, and we're going to have to see what they're made of. I mean, I don't know that we've ever really seen elite defense from Mark Sears, but we have certainly seen competent and above average defense from him. And we,
at times this year, even.
Yes. It's just, I don't know if it's a mentality thing. If it's, I think it's a little bit of a skill thing, obviously. It's certainly a bit of a size thing, a bit of a, just an objective. Like, he's not quite big enough, not quite the mold Alabama really needs to play that position. But like I said, we have seen it in stretches where he does things that are good enough. And then he is so good on the offensive end that it makes for a pretty good player. But when you are just a complete liability defensively, you almost can't do enough on the offensive end to be good enough. Luka Doncic has been hot in the streets since getting traded to the Lakers. I've seen a lot of people talking about how it's so amazing, a lot of that. And obviously, he's one of the greatest basketball players in the world, but I have seen a very small swath of Lakers fans who are a little upset about it because people also forget that Luka plays literally no defense. He is one of the only examples in the world of someone who is good enough offensively to like get by without playing any defense. Mark Sears, you are not Luka Doncic. You have to play some defense.
Right, I mean, he's good on offense, but you're not making up for it. Right?
If Mark Sears, if you shot 60% from the field, you were shooting 50% from three, and you averaged 38 points a game, I don't think we'd really be having this conversation as much. We'd probably be pretty okay with your defensive inefficiencies, but you don't. You average 20 to 25 a night shooting from the field, maybe around 50 from three, around 35. You just don't do enough on the one end to make up for doing nothing on the other. So you have to find, a little bit of something, a little bit of juice, Mark. I think, we talked about the starting lineup, getting him out there with LeBaron, I think hopefully can help a little bit. Oh man, it's going to be a tough one. It's going to be a track race. It's going to be run and gun, very high scoring game Saturday in Coleman Coliseum. I said I didn't feel good about it. I'm going to pick Alabama to win. I'm going to pick them to win close. I already said the score on your show. I think what did I say? 102-96, I think is what I said. I'm going to stick with that. But, man.
If you like offense, this is going to be a game for you.
Yeah. Tune in on Saturday.
What's Kentucky's defensive rating? Kentucky.
69? Is that what I said?
Oh, that's what you just said. Yes. It was nice.
All right. Let's move off of basketball a little bit. I do want to mention these 2026 recruits. Wanted to get into this.
Chris Booker
lands their second commitment of the 2026 class. One Mr. Four-star offensive lineman, Chris Booker from Atlanta, Georgia, I believe, chooses the Alabama Crimson Tide over Kentucky and USF, the number 28 interior offensive lineman in the country, the number 41 player in the Peach State, is also going to be in town at the end of May for an official visit. He was here for Junior Day and earlier this month. Man. I really like what I have seen out of him. Now, obviously, he's only a junior. We've not seen him at his maximum capabilities yet, but the one clip that I saw on Twitter really made me believe in him. And it was, I mentioned on your show, it was him just, straight out of the Blind Side movie, him just shoving a guy. You get the wide angle from the press box, from the 50-yard line of the guy filming for the huddle tapes. And you just see, here's Chris Booker, and then he just carries the kid all the way off camera, and you see about five guys on the sideline all back up, like, what the hell just happened? I think he is a dog. I think Chris Booker is a dog.
Is he a offshoot clone of Tyler Booker? Is that a younger brother?
Long lost cousin.
Yeah, exactly.
Long lost cousin. Yeah, they go, you know.
Tyler from New Jersey, Chris from Georgia, so probably not direct descendants, direct long, related.
Yeah. You know, they got they share an uncle or something, or a great-great-grandpa maybe.
They share that motor, that engine.
Yeah, there we go.
They share that want to and the love for the Crimson Tide.
I am excited about what he brings. Like I said, brings a class now to two total commitments alongside Zion Gibson, who, speaking of Zion Gibson, helped lead Gadsden City to the first Final Four in school history this weekend.
Okay.
Taking out Oxford 54-52. This has nothing really to do with it, but just made me angry in trying to find out anything about that game. I don't know if it's just like the state of Alabama, but the high school basketball reporting in this state is abysmal. Like, it's impossible to find any bit of information about these games that happen.
Why do you think Goody Armin got so popular in Huntsville?
Without having to pay for a dang paywall. Because he's
a king of high school basketball up there.
I should have reached out to Drew and asked him about this game. I'm sure he had a good night. That Huntsville and Hoover game, I saw a lot of people talking about that. Many people saying, I think the coach for Huntsville even included, saying this should have been the state title game. Maybe they need to revisit the way they seed things in the future, the way they address that tournament. I don't really know the ins and outs of it.
I don't either, but I know our friend Barry Sanderson, who coaches at Northridge, complains about it anytime he gets a chance, that somehow, some way, the seedings are like you qualify out of your region, right? And then you get put into some like area tournament, mm-hmm. and then the winners of the area tournament all go to, I don't know. But basically, I think he was saying that after you win the area tournaments, you got to reseed the whole bracket because
everybody's the areas are different.
Right. The areas are different compared with certain areas. So like Birmingham and the Jefferson County and the whatever Huntsville, whatever their county is, Madison.
I think it is Madison.
Okay, yeah. So I think they're paired or whatever.
Oh yeah, 'cause I remember like when I was in high school, you know, we had a pretty good basketball team for North Alabama. Did really well in our region. We were in the same region as Jimison. They would always beat us. That was where John Petty went. You know, but we were usually would come out as second team, pushing right for that first seed in that region. You know, do well in the tournament, whatever, get their seed, and then it'd be, oh, you get to go down to Birmingham and play Ramsey.
Right.
And it was like, okay, well, they are just on a complete – they have played a whole other league of basketball compared to what we've played up here, the talent level and things. So, yeah, you would get down there and what we thought was a pretty good basketball team would go get beat by 25 or 30.
Yeah, I didn't think that they want – after the area rounds, I think is what the high school coaches to be reseeded so that –
seems like a good idea.
You can have like – right, because Hoover and – who was this other
– Hoover Huntsville.
Apparently two top 25 teams in the whole country, not just the state of Alabama.
Should not have been playing each other at that point in this tournament, probably.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's on that. Everything. I couldn't find any stats for Zion Gibson. I'm just going to assume he dropped 35 points, probably made 50, every shot.
100.
Yeah. Probably hit the game winner to put them up 54-52 if I had to guess. You know, I think it's probably safe to assume.
Dunked the game winner.
More 2026 news, though, this week. Few quick hitters here. Alabama extended its first two quarterback offers of the recruiting cycle, and I say quarterback very lightly, very loosely, because four-star quarterback Derek Zama and five-star Keyshawn Henderson, who is a current Houston commit. I'm not really sure that I truly believe either of them are actual quarterbacks. Zama, 6 foot, 185 pounds. Right off the bat, not exactly the quarterback build you're looking for. I will say, I mean, he has been one of the most electrifying players in New Jersey high school football. We talked about Lotzier Brooks from this last recruiting class and how insane he was putting up the numbers and stuff. This guy, over 6,300 purpose yards and 73 touchdowns in three seasons. I mean, that's stupid. Like, and so the production, like, I understand why he's, you know, garnered the attention he has. He has over 20 Division I offers. I just think he probably projects as a different position than quarterback. I think he's a classic example of just, I'm the best athlete on the field, so they've thrown me at the most important position on the field, which is fine. I think Keyshawn Henderson is maybe a similar example of that. Like I said, current Houston commit, 6'3", 175 pounds. So, you know, does have the size to maybe play quarterback if you want him to, a little bit on the slimmer side, but so is Keelan Russell. However, he's kind of, I was trying to find like stats for him and watch his highlights and things. And like, he just plays offense. Like you ask him what position he plays, he says offense. They use him everywhere. He has running back, quarterback, wide receiver. I saw him lining up as a tight end on some play. Like he does everything. In his freshman season, he had like 75 catches for over 1,100 yards and then also 500 passing yards combined for like 20 some odd touchdowns. And after that, they were like, all right, we're going to let you play a little more quarterback, a little less receiver. So he split a little more evenly, getting like 1,000 of each in his sophomore and junior years. But like, he's just a good athlete. I don't know exactly where he projects to Alabama. There's a reason they extended him an offer, though, I think. And it's just because I think he's just really, really talented offensive player. Probably going to be a receiver, I would imagine. Yes.
Yeah. Zion Gibson.
This is Keyshawn Henderson.
Oh, my gosh. I thought you were talking about Zion Gibson this whole time. I'm sorry.
Zion Gibson, cornerback.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was trying to follow.
No, he's a corner. This is one of the two quarterback offers that they submitted. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Neither of them are, I don't think, long. I don't think long for the quarterback position. I think both of them will probably find themselves in the receiving.
Yeah, we ain't stacking up a quarterback right behind Keelan Russell. Yeah,
no, but exciting nonetheless. They also, Alabama would line up a handful of visitors this week. 4-star tight end Max Sutter, 5-star running back Derek Cooper, and then 4-star edge rushers KJ Ford from Duncanville, Texas, notable home of Keelan Russell, and fellow 4-star edge rusher Nolan Wilson from Picayune, Mississippi.
Wasn't Kendrick Blackshire from Duncanville?
I think he was. Yeah. Hang on. I think
Kendrick Blackshire.
Man, he's at UTSA now.
Good for him.
Yeah, from Duncanville.
I hope you found the field and
Duncanville, Texas.
Roll some heads there, buddy.
The producer of some good talents. I mean, that guy was a freak coming out of high school.
Yeah, you definitely was.
But that's a bit about it on the recruiting news. You know, not anything overly exciting. You do get the one commitment and hopefully building towards the continuing to build on that 2026 class.
What do you make of where you are in the class?
I think you're fine.
You are
fine.
But you just get people. We're behind.
I think, you know, if you really followed it super closely, behind. You see that every other day, whoever it is, 4-star, 5-star, Alabama named in their top 5, Alabama named in his top 8, Alabama named in his top 10, or whatever, you know. Oh, I'm coming to visit Alabama. Oh, like, Alabama is talking to these kids. They are recruiting. They are building these relationships. It just takes time. They are getting them on campus. They are, you know, working at it. It's not like they're just sitting here doing nothing. They are in the mix for a lot of these very, very good prospects in the 2026 class. I think they're really pretty much, I mean, they're in the driver's seat to once again just do exactly the same thing next year like they did this season and, you know, probably finish with a top 5 class again. We got a couple more things to get into really quick before we get out of here because we are running out of time here. I do want to mention softball's opening home weekend, taking on Virginia Tech, Southern Utah, and Drake this weekend. Hopefully a few chances in there for some victories that they need. They've been on a tough stretch in the opening part of the year. You know, it's hard out here in softball. We talked to Tom Canterbury yesterday on Joe's show, and hearing him kind of explain it really opened my eyes a little bit just to how good the SEC is, but really just like this schedule that Alabama has played in this early part of the year. They've been dealt a gauntlet. So, you know, don't write them off yet. Once they get to the postseason, this team really should be perfectly fine. I think Alabama softball doesn't really have anything to worry about right now. Baseball makes their first road trip this weekend to the Jacksonville Classic, taking on Coastal Carolina, NC State, and Ohio State. So a loaded slate for baseball. They are 5-0 right now, 5-0 home stretch to start the season. So going to go on the road, take on some bigger name teams than they have played up to this point in the year. So, you know, probably the first real challenge of the season for Alabama. You can read all about it. I'm sure Will Miller will be covering it this weekend for you. What else we got? We got the Power of Pink meet for gymnastics this weekend as well.
The softball weekend actually is going to be interesting with the Virginia Tech. Emma Limley is apparently one of these top pitchers in college softball. So it'd be a good little chance to see the ladies at home,
If you want to go to get over there, I'm sure you can get in for a pretty reasonable price too, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Typically it's not, I've been just a handful of games over there at Rhodes Stadium and they're never going to run you too much money. And it's always a really, really good time. I mentioned the Power of Pink. They're actually taking on Auburn tonight, 7:30 PM.
Gross.
So tune in. Hopefully you can watch Alabama in their lovely pink attire take down the Auburn Tigers in the Power of Pink meet. Maybe we'll see more of that pink across all of Alabama athletics this weekend a little bit. I'm sure, if I had to guess, maybe some of the softball girls will be wearing like their bows or ribbons or something. Everybody always kind of does their little thing. Cool to see. But that's really, man, unless you've got anything else for us today, Joe, I think I'm about tapped out on all things here. Bama.
I got one thing to throw at you real quick, because we didn't talk about this on my show at all either, but in the college world, not specific to Alabama, Carson Beck and his girlfriend their car stolen. Buddy, I'm sorry. If you're going to buy yourself a $400,000 car, if you're going to buy yourself whatever that car cost, I'm just throwing out a number because I don't know. A stupid number car. Not just one of your basic hoopties who's getting you from A to B.
Let's see what kind of cars they were.
I think they were Lamborghinis, were they not?
That's what I'm trying to find.
Him,
here we go.
And his girl, Haley or Hannah Cavender, whatever her name is.
It was a Mercedes. It was his Mercedes SUV and her Lamborghini, an Urus. And I don't know. I'm assuming, I don't know what he has, but.
Ridiculous.
$300,000 Mercedes-Benz SUV. And then I don't know how much what's an Urus running you these days? You can get a used one. Oh, it's cool. $225,000.
Oh yeah. Perfect.
Pocket change. I'll find that today when I get home. Yeah. What are you doing, man? And I don't know.
This is a life lesson. I mean, we talk about like, college. This is a life lesson. Yes. If you are going to invest in, that's fine. You got that money.
Lock it the hell up.
Yes.
don't leave it out somewhere where it can get stolen, buddy. Get you a nice garage.
Park it somewhere.
Get you some security.
Secure.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, I can guarantee you with the utmost certainty that this situation was entirely avoidable for Carson Beck. But
oh, yeah. They probably parked it like
they were probably parked on the street.
We're going to meet at a restaurant for dinner.
Yeah.
We're going to meet at 7 o'clock
on Main Street.
We're going to park right there on Main Street.
I would have me a beautiful, all nice, be forest green 2007 Toyota Land Cruiser with the gold emblems on the back. Have a khaki interior. It'd be beautiful. That'd be what I'd be driving. Nobody would want to steal that thing unless you really knew what you were looking for.
Okay, yeah. Just think that's nuts.
Be using my NIL money to bit me about a give me a nice Land Cruiser. Yeah, no, bad on you, Carson Beck. A valuable lesson you've maybe learned here. I'm sure he will just. I mean,
insurance,
he'll get
his
insurance
off.
Money, and then he'll get another super fancy SUV. Do you think he owned these, or do you think
leased
he's
just
them? Leasing them?
Probably a lease.
I bet it's just a lease.
Nuts! How college has changed.
Man, oh man, that's all. But that's really all we've got today for the All Things Bama podcast. I want to remind you all again to follow both Joe and I on Twitter at JoeGaither6 at MAWoods_. Make sure you like and subscribe to the show. Go rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Want to thank you all again for listening to today's show. We will be back next week with another edition of the All Things Bama podcast. Thank you for listening.